Hi, Smart Community friends. I'm back with another bonus episode of the Smart Community Podcast, sharing various guest answers to the question, where to next for smart cities and communities? And this time, I'm sharing with you the answers from these guests. Russell Bennett from episode 307, Tim Neal from episode 308, Ryan McManus from 309, and Guy Gander from episode 310. Some themes that come through in the guest answers are around corridor concepts in our cities, breaking down silos, and nurturing the culture of innovation, regional partnerships, and keeping and retaining skill sets. We talk a lot about embedding the smart community approach, which is important to break down silos and barriers so that we can move forward with our smart community initiatives. We need to continue to think differently and creatively to really gain traction and start seeing some of the benefits smart communities can bring. Another theme our guests are commonly finding is around skills shortages in particular regions, and we really want to work on keeping and retaining those skill sets. It really is time to start uplifting our regions and showcasing regional capability and capacity, and educating school leavers on the many career paths of STEM and other areas as well to either attract those needed skill sets or retain the current talent in our regions. As Tim Neal says, trying to educate early stage school leavers to the potential of what opportunities lie ahead. For the regions, I think that's a massive thing we've got to be doing right now. And hopefully people coming out of the cities back into regional areas is going to drive some of those incredible skill sets that we need back in the regions to solve these big problems that we've got. As always, we hope you enjoy listening to this episode as much as we enjoyed making it.
Welcome to the Smart Community, Smart Regions, Smart Towns, and Smart Cities. It's where we live, work, and play. With smart communities, the future starts today. Big data, smart mobility, emerging trends galore. The Smart Community Podcast is what you're looking for.
So where to next for smart communities?
Where to next for us? Well, I'm working with a couple of our neighbour councils to help sort of, again, it's that regional approach. Like we're part of a regional partnership in Victoria, which includes Moyne, Glenelg, Corangamite and Warrnambool. So we're fortunate at that group level to get some funding. So sort of uplifting the capabilities of some of those councils, you know, who are just starting the strategy piece now. So helping them to uplift and other councils to implement, again, pilots with what they're looking to do to with smart technology tools, IoT, to get their outcomes. So sort of looking across more regionally about how we can, because again, it's not just about attracting new business or people or tourism to Southern Grampians. We need to attract them as a regional level, because it's much easier at a regional level than just one council going out for it. So if we can, again, it's all about creating those partnerships and uplifting the capability and capacity of our region to go, all right, if you're a new grower of whatever, look at our region to come and set up shop. And what can that bring to our region? So there's a lot of work there. At a project level, some stuff I'm working on is we've got a really good partnership with local VicPol here doing some CCTV work around safety for our community, and then how can we leverage that infrastructure around getting analytical data out of that, where it's usage of roads and pedestrians to make better decisions around, again, our assets or whatever it may be. But yeah, and that DISA piece of work, that regional digital innovation and smart agriculture festival across Victoria, which would be awesome, are sort of the three things that are sort of on my to-do list at the moment.
Yeah, nice. Now, I want to go back a little bit because I know smart ag is a key. I'm trying to get more smart ag people on the podcast as well, because it's something that I think has sneakily, you know, that like the restaurant that no one knows about kind of thing, best kept secret. It's powering ahead, right? And it's powering ahead because it makes sense to do so. What some of the things that you've seen like shift and change in the region in that smart ag space?
Yeah, well, look, farmers are pretty good at embracing new technology. Look at the equipment they have on their farms. Like, it's some of those tractors and all that sort of stuff are phenomenal with the technology in them. So, but really where I see it being a real kicker is the ability to remotely manage the core infrastructure around a farm so they can sleep better at night. They can go away for the weekend and know that their troughs are still full. They haven't got a leakage and things like that. So where I've seen the take up locally is really that infrastructure. So it could be things, yeah, trough monitoring, the water levels, especially over summer. You've got electric fence monitoring, which saves a hell of a lot of time rather than physically driving around the whole perimeter of their property to make sure their electric fences are right. They can look on their phone and go, oh, we've got a fault. I know exactly where it is. I can go and fix it. You know, we have seen trials around like putting sensors actually on, whether it be cattle or sheep. I think still that's got a little bit of work to go before that really works well. But it's more that infrastructure stuff where it's just saving a hell of a lot of time. And especially if farmers have multiple properties in different locations that they're trying to monitor, they can do that centrally and be a lot more efficient in where they're going. So there's a heap of a lot of quick wins and really important wins that can make a life a lot easier for our farming community. And for us, again, because we're predominantly a farming community, if our farming community is thriving, our community is going to thrive. So that's the real key for us to still push and work with that cohort of our community to see how that can leverage it.
Yeah, nice. No, I really like that. It's like, I probably wouldn't say like farmers have already got something to do, right? I was thinking, you know, it's kind of buying back leisure time, but it's actually more like increasing the well-being because they know that they can, like you said, sleep at night knowing that if something happens, maybe they'll get an alert or whatever the case is and that there isn't a leak in the trough and that type of thing. So no, thanks for sharing that. I think it's important and I'm keen to, I've got a few people lined up to come on the podcast to talk more about that smart ag space. So yeah, lots in there.
Where to next for smart communities, particularly in this ag space?
I'm actively trying to, well, I guess one of our biggest challenges in Australia right now is the lack of skilled resources in the data area. And I think we've seen the brain drain overseas in the last 10 years, probably as many people disappearing from Australia. Trying to educate them early stage school leavers to the potential of what lies ahead and the opportunities that lie ahead for the regions. I think that's a massive thing we've got to do right now and try and drag back some of those skills back into those regional areas. And hopefully people coming out of the cities back into regional areas is going to drive some of that incredible skill sets that we need back in the regions to solve these big problems that we've got.
Yeah. So I totally agree. I think if we can focus on it and we can be intentional about it, it can definitely happen. You think about, you know, even some of the things we've been talking about in this episode, thinking about, you know, even 5 years ago, the possibilities, and then thinking 10 or 20 years ago that you would have such things happening. And I think it is just about thinking about how we really focus and bring people's attention to it. Like you said, that to be in the regions, you don't just have, you know, you can go and get your math degree and then go back onto the farm if that's what you want to do. Or, you know, it's a combination. I think there's going to be more people doing more and more, like maybe two or three things. I mean, that's how, you know, they bring all their jobs together or whatever the case is. I think that's going to be really exciting. And we're talking before about data and how numbers and lines and things like that. But you mentioned something that like the context is so important. And so being able to make decisions about that, it's not just about the numbers, the ones and zeros, it's about the context. And so if we can keep people or bring people that are from the regions or in the ag space or whatever, then they can have that appreciation of how it actually works. Like you said, not just having someone make a decision in the big city to be, oh, well, you should do this here. You actually need that context as well, which is where you can automate some things that don't need the human touch, but then you can add the human touch in because now you've got time to be able to do that.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's not about replacing people. It's about making them do smarter jobs or, you know, the bigger ticket jobs and getting the smaller stuff out of the way. I couldn't agree more. It's really important. That's why I stay in the regions, to keep the context. And so often we see, yeah, that it doesn't happen, particularly in agriculture, and therefore you don't get trust, you know, and agriculture is built on trust. So I think you've got to have a nice mix of both, and you're spot on with what you said.
Where to next for smart cities and communities?
Oh, I'm really excited about these corridor concepts that are being developed in cities. And, you know, I think real estate is really permanent. And seeing communities combine transit planning, mobility, urban planning, commercial real estate, residential, it's starting to be something that I think can really define the way that next generation cities and communities look. And these corridors are bringing together, or could have the promise of bringing together, the property developers, the transit, the private mobility operators, and the companies. And I think corridors are the types of places that if you can get commuter benefits integrated into the fiber of what those companies are doing, not just in reducing parking availability, but not allowing companies to have employees driving and having quotas per company and really being intentional about who can be there and how are those companies going to handle the commute. Because if the corridors can be designed and managed properly, there could be a huge opportunity to improve the quality of life for people that live on those corridors today or are going to want to migrate to those corridors. And once they're built, they're going to be here for generations. Mm-hmm. And so I think the lasting legacy of smart cities could be seen in these corridors that really shape and define our communities. And it's still going to come down to public-private partnership because it's not going to be all on a transit agency getting it built out. And I think there's some creative business models out there that need to be explored for how these corridor projects could be funded. But it all comes down to participation. And if we can get the companies to participate through commuter benefits ordinances, occupy these corridors, the next generation workforce that takes those jobs that occupy those corridors are going to show up to their first day of work in something other than a car they own. And that's the future that you and I would really love to see because we know all of the other benefits. But today, the message that's getting us in the door is transportation is good if you want to fill jobs. And that's all you have to care about. Keep it simple.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier around the language that we need to use because we know the benefits that we're seeking and what we want to get. And again, it's integrated land use planning, right? Like bringing the people, the job opportunities, the different land types, all those type of things, bringing that together with transportation and options, sustainable transportation, transport mm-hmm. that, you know, doesn't just, we don't want to build the next generation of cities or adapt our cities to be built around another vehicle, another automobile, private vehicle, right? We want them to be as a car. We want them to be built around shared options, public transport, active transport. So people really want to, it enables people to choose those options as the first choice. But they don't, you know, you're not even thinking about it, but it won't just happen overnight, but it's about having those conversations and building and changing and shifting as we go forward.
Yeah.
So where to next for smart cities and communities?
Well, we've now have a smart community framework, which is in draft. It's been endorsed by our executive leadership group. And as next steps for us, it's to get our council endorsement and community consultation, get the ball rolling and get started with initiatives on the plan. I mean, we are doing it, I guess, silently, but having that stamp on the smart community framework because it gives us the vision, principles, priorities that we talked about, but also a prioritization framework as well, and ability to assess if a project is, because we've developed that tool now to understand is it a smart project or not, and having that stamp on it will be awesome and get those initiatives underway.
Yeah, no, it's really exciting. Excited to see it progress further and again, like bring the community in as well and, you know, start developing up those projects with them or initiatives. And I think in terms of the framework, it's about embedding that, you know, approach into our, you know, into everything that is happening within council, but initially thinking about, well, how can we do this differently? Are we thinking about collaborating across the department so it's not just a silo? Are we, you know, it's kind of like breaking down those barriers and again, just continuing to nurture that culture of innovation too, which is really exciting.
The Smart Community Podcast is brought to you by My Smart Community. If you're looking for support in podcast strategy and production, workshop design and facilitation, or communication and media advisory, get in touch. Email hello@mysmart.community or head to www.mysmart.community.
Thanks so much for listening to the Smart Community Podcast.
Show notes for this episode and all other episodes are available on our website, mysmart.community/podcast. If you have any questions for us or any of our guests, you can email hello@mysmart.community. You can also find us on the socials. We are on LinkedIn and Twitter @smartcomhq. That's com with two M's. If you are enjoying the podcast, please hit subscribe so you never miss an episode. And we would love for you to leave us a rating and review at wherever you listen. This really helps us reach more ears and eyes, so thank you for your support. As always, we hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as we enjoyed making it.
The Smart Community Podcast is what you're looking for.